Good morning. Thank you for taking time and coming out today, especially in the heat. How many of you have done gardening before? Anybody done gardening before? And have you ever seen sometimes where some plants grow? We had a building at one of the facilities, and I don't know how it happened, but all of a sudden there was like a little tree growing out from like where a windowsill should be. Instead of being in the regular soil, it was up there and it was growing. And how many of us fight if you've had driveways and things like that, and the weeds seem to come up right in the cracks of the driveway and that? Anybody ever had to deal with that before too, as it goes through? This is one of the passages, as Jesus shares it, he starts teaching in a new way. Not a new way to the custom of the time, but in a new way to get what his message and what his purpose was and the gospel. Originally, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, did not accept Christ or the Word. They should have been studying and known that this fit the pattern of prophecy, but they didn't respond. So Jesus starts to talk to people in parables. Parable is a story that has a significant message in regards to a spiritual sense or a moral sense. And they were used to that. But sometimes, as the story was told, the story may have a little general understanding, but what Christ was meaning was not well known to the rest of the folks. So even in this case, the Pharisees and that might understand somebody sowing seed, but they wouldn't understand the spiritual sense. In fact, sometimes the disciples didn't understand, and they would ask Jesus to explain it. And what is neat in this passage is we get a point, one, where he tells a parable, and later on in the passage, he explains it, what it is. The person who is the sower, first of all, in Jesus' time, it was Jesus sowing the gospel. Later he would tell that would be a disciple. Today it would be us as followers of Christ as we give out and we witness and we give out the story of Jesus and his salvation. How many have done that? Yeah, you don't want to raise your hand, but yeah. When I was with Campus Crusade for Christ as a young man, we were told to go out, and at that time, you didn't get too worried about knocking on people's doors, other than you get scared of what you might run into or somebody's dog. But the object was that you went out, there was a little book called The Four Spiritual Laws, and it let a story go by, if you were able to share it, show where man is separated from God and needed to accept Christ as their Savior's forgiveness of sins. And you'd go out and you would share that. Source, some people were already believers. Some weren't believers and didn't want to hear the gospel. Others wanted to know and understand the gospel, so they welcomed you in. And at the end, they would gather the people and say, well, who had a successful witness? Many used to think, well, that was based like on missionaries. You gave out the gospel, and how many received the gospel? But they told you very plainly, a successful witness was one that went out and left the results to God. When you go out in the workforce, when you go out in your neighborhood, you are living the life, and you should be living the life in Christ. And if you're living the life in Christ and you share Christ on what you do and the way you act, there will be people receive it in various ways. And that's where we come to the text. The sower is you. The seed is the Word of God. And he tells you it goes on various types of ground. And it sprouts. But some last. And some don't. So what happens? What causes that? And he tells us the different things that happen in the life. There's the hard packed ground. You ever seen that? where maybe things have traveled on the soil for so long, it's just like concrete. Try to dig into it, hard to dig into it. And he says the seed gets on there, and it doesn't understand, it doesn't grow. And what happens, it said? The birds what? Snatch it. See, it's kind of like the gospel going out to folks. You give the gospel, they see it, it goes on the ground, they're hard. Nothing you say is going to change the way they think. Nothing seems to penetrate their conscience, their need for Christ. And so when it hits that hard ground, then they're easily taken away. And it says Satan kind of distracts them. You know, one of the biggest things that Satan does today is he tells people, you know, you got tomorrow. I'm going to do this. When are you going to do it? I'll do it, you know, a week or a month from now. I'm working to there. And that's the biggest false thing that Satan can give somebody is that thing that I have tomorrow. We don't know how long we have. And because we had yesterday and we're here today, we think we have what? Tomorrow. And there's no guarantee. And that's why our relationships and everything are so important, because we don't know how long we're going to have with each other. If we thought in those terms, we would what? Love each other more? Treat each other more kindly? You know, it's kind of like the one, the parable, you know, if you knew the thief was coming, what would you do? Some say, well, clean their gun and be ready, sitting there waiting for them. But we live a life where we think we always have more time. We have tomorrow. When will you be committed to the Lord? I know I should, but I'll do that tomorrow. Or I'll do it next month. I'll see where I'm at this year, and I'll make it. What happens is once that pattern gets into somebody's life, it's very vulnerable that then Satan attacks and distracts him away from anything to do with the Word of God, and they're away from God in a permanent way. And so the message, when we hear it, we're graced with, we have a decision to make, and it should be what? Today. If you haven't been in your Bible, you need to be in your Bible. When? Today. If you need help and you need the power of the church and you need to be there, you should be there when? Today. If your neighbor is without Christ and you know it, you should tell him about Christ when? Today. And you know, this world and life, there are no guarantees. There could be a child gone tomorrow. I think one of the worst things a parent could expect is a loss of a child. And as we think, even on the bereavement side, what goes through a parent's mind and wishing they'd probably give their life over instead of the child. We don't know how much time we have. And so the urgency to the disciples and to the church today is the urgency is we need to be getting the gospel out. We need to get it out. When? Today. And we leave the response up to God. Your successful witness is that you have lived your life, you've shared it with others, and you leave the results to Christ. That's one thing. We are not, God gives us that freedom of what? Choice. You can serve him today or you cannot. That's your choice. And he said, well, then we have the seed, and then it goes on to what? Not just the hard ground, but we have it go on the rocky ground, where it really can't get a root in. You talk to somebody, you invite them to church, they seem excited. Oh, yeah, I'll come. And then they might even come a Sunday or two, and then all of a sudden you don't see them. and you wonder where they're at. Maybe you even are bold enough to ask them sometime and say, you know, we didn't see you Sunday. We haven't seen you for a while. We'd love to have you back. Where you been? The root never got into good ground and started to work. You know, when the Bible in Matthew 8 later tells us that we should not just be telling the gospel, but it says you need to be making what? Disciples. Meaning it's not just good enough to tell them about Christ, but give them the opportunity to grow in Christ and get some root. So when things happen, they're ready and they'll respond. This world has a lot to offer, doesn't it? How many TV channels do you have? Anybody remember the day we had about 4 or 5 TV channels? We were satisfied, weren't we? We turn it on. There were even days that we didn't have a thing called a remote. Do you ever remember you had to get up and you had to change the channels? Some of us probably remember you didn't even have color. You loved black and white. But today's world has so much to distract people, has many channels, maybe over 1,000 channels. And you can get them in different things, HD and all that kind of stuff. And if we miss something, what can we do? We can play it back, right? Or we can binge watch and we can watch a whole series. The world is distracted in many ways to pull people and entertain them. And when it comes to the gospel, if they don't get into the word of God, the root cannot tap into soil. What happens in Florida? We have weather called, what type of season this is? What is it? Hurricane season, right? Some of us have lived here quite a while, right? Anybody prepared for hurricanes this year? Yeah, a few of you? And others of us say, well, we haven't had one for a while, really hasn't hit us. They talk a lot of talk on the weather, so I'm not going to stock up on things and water. I'll wait. And usually when the hurricane is coming, you go to the store and you can't find the things that you need, can you? Because we hadn't prepared. We took the risk. But when it comes to your salvation or your growing in Christ, are you taking the risk? When something comes up and you're trying to figure out if it's right or if it's wrong, how deep are the roots of your Christian life? Are you in the Word for protection? Things happen. Have you ever remembered the days where we had Sunday school? And what did you do? Did you memorize Scripture? Anybody do that before? And now if we look back, how much Scripture do we know? By heart. It's always good at least to have one verse, so when the devil is attacking you, mention that verse. Recite that verse. There's power in the Word of God. But what happens in the Christian life is if we don't feed that part of ourselves, then we become very weak and we get to the point. And some, as we've shared Christ, the world seems more attractive, or pearls or things happen, and guess what happens? Their faith is not there. They're defeated in their walk. Later he says there's one with thorny ground, where the thorns come up. You ever do gardening? And for some reason, we didn't plant those weeds, did we? But they came up. Do you remember having to weed your garden? The hardest thing with children was you had to teach them what a weed was versus a plant, or your whole garden was gone. One of my favorite things with my youngest daughter when she was young was, after work, was to go out to the garden. If we planted corn every day, she'd go out to the garden to see if a little corn had started to come out of the ground. But if you don't take care of a flower bed or a garden, what seems to overtake? Or even a yard. Ask Tony, he can give you some instruction later. But later on, a real nice yard, maybe when it first got built, people put sod out. And then later on, a few years later, you look at the yard and what's in there? Certain part of the, we know there's weeds because what? They flower and they show themselves. I remember having a yard, and I had it treated, and it was all taken care of. Oh, it was immaculate. And my neighbor didn't take care of his, and his was yellow. And then once in a while, guess what came over my yard? A yellow. So there's the thorny ground that came up. And what it did was, if there was a believer who comes to church, who's studying the Word of God, if they get trapped in the world weeds, if nobody is there to guide them through, or they don't cultivate themselves in their land, what happens? The weeds come up, they grow, and they choke their life out. Their spiritual witness is not there. You can't tell. How many times have we surprised when we meet somebody and we share that we know Christ and we go to church and we have this love for the Savior, we have a love for His Word, and then all of a sudden the person says, well, they did too, but now they don't. And when you find out, they're tangled in all the thorns of life. When hard times come, they don't know how to deal with them. Why? Because they haven't been growing in Christ, haven't been growing in the Word. But there are some, maybe most of us here, who have fell into good soil. We want to hear God's Word. We want to live the best we can to show the love of Christ. We will get involved in things and activities that promote the love of Christ. We will get involved in our church. And there's many here, as small as the church is, there's a group of people that do a lot of all the work. And when you start to talk and get to know people, you find out why they do it. They do it because they have strong faith and they love the Lord. When difficulties come, if you ask somebody in Christ, you find out that they say, the thing that got me through this moment, this passage of life, was my faith. It was my faith. My trusting in God. God wants me to come to Him. He wants to give me comfort and peace. He wants to give me joy in the service that I might do. Last week we said He wants to take the daily walk with you. He wants you to share that yoke. He says, my yoke is light. You don't have to carry on in life by yourself. Yoke with me. He tells us that he told His disciples, I will give you a comforter. How many times have we felt comfort and peace by our faith in Christ? We know God what? Loves us. And so this little parable is to let you know is that when you give out the gospel in your life, verbally, through music, through whatever we do, being a good worker, a good steward, there will be some that will respond, but they'll respond in various ways. And that's why it's so important for a church today to do things where we disciple, to make people understand the Word of God. A lot of times people might want to hear things and they might hear what we call the good things of being a Christian. But in life, life for all of us can be hard. I don't know of one person that's never experienced some kind of testing, a trial, or a hardship. But the most powerful way that we can go ahead and explain how we get through another day is through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your challenge, my challenge this week, is that we continue to sow. And let the results be a God's. Have you ever traveled to a church you used to go to, or somebody that was a friend that was a believer? The blessing is that those that heard the gospel and respond, that they're what? Still living for Jesus. And the most disappointing is the one who knew, who heard, and who have fallen away. Be faithful and let God interact with people, and you show the love of Christ, and maybe they'll flourish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the seed, the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. For those who seem to be hard to the gospel, our witness is just to share, and their response is theirs. They are responsible to choose. And as we live, let us remember how much God loved us. And in our actions and our thoughts and our deeds, may we show the love of Christ and continue to plant the seed of the Word. In Jesus' precious name, amen.